You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
Welcome back to the Straight Shooters Golf Podcast. I am Henry Stettina, and I'm alongside Keith Bennett. We are the Straight Shooters, and today we are going to be talking about why you suck at putting. We've been talking about this for a little while now, and we've both decided that there's two main points of this conversation. We're going to talk about the mental side and then the physical side, basically highlighting some of the things that you might be doing in your game that are contributing to your challenges, and then also pinpointing some of the things that you might begin doing to increase your performance on the greens. The first point of topic that we discussed was the mental game. And I think it boils down to the idea of focusing on what we want to do versus the more common thought process of focusing on what we don't want to do. Prior to the show, Keith and I were chatting and we decided that there were a lot of golfers who focus on what they don't want. For example, we don't want a three putt. We don't want to miss the short putts. And so that type of mentality seems to get in the way of the actual intent of performing the putt the way we want to. And that type of a mindset is quite common. We're going to talk about that in more detail. But first, I want to kick it over to Keith. Keith, I hope all is well down in Scottsdale. And tell us a little bit about what's going on and how we might identify what a golfer should focus on while putting.
Yeah, man, I think this is a really important topic because it kind of encapsulates everything that we do in golf, whether it's long game, short game, or putting, or just how we think about ourselves as golfers in general, right? Are we focusing on our negative attributes as golfers, the shots we've missed, or are we focusing on the positive things we've done, right? You have a choice, you have free will, as Bob Rotella says, to focus on whatever you want to focus on. You could focus on the best shot you've hit with that 8-iron in your hand. You could focus on the best putting stroke you've ever made with that putter in your hand, or you can focus on the 8-iron you've hit out of bounds, or the 3-foot putt you missed to win the match against your friend, right? You have the choice to focus on whatever you want. But all too often golfers focus on what they don't want to have happen, or they flash back to that bad memory. And that's the most fresh thing in their brain when over the putt. And I think, Brett McCabe said something interesting. He said, you know, the brain, everyone thinks the brain can, it can't recognize the word no or don't, but it, of course it can, don't miss this putt or don't hit it out of bounds. And, you know, what we're actually doing is we're not focusing on what we don't want to have happen. We're focusing on the ball flying out of bounds, and that's telling our brain kind of what we want to have happen. And we're focusing on that. And then the brain does its best to produce, you know, the image that we just, you know, showed it. And so basically you've got an option as a golfer standing over your ball on the green. You can focus on that spot you want to roll the ball into on the back of the cup. You know, you can pick out a very kind of a fleck of dirt or, you know, an imperfection in the back of the hole and focus on the ball hitting that spot. Or you can stand over that ball and think about all the things that, you know, might happen to your ego or might happen to you if you miss this putt, or, and all you're really focusing on is just seeing the putt miss. And that's all the brain needs in order to execute that vision, which is, you know, the ball not rolling into the hole.
Yeah. You bring up a great point that I just thought about. You know, it goes back to that old saying of don't think of a purple elephant. And immediately that's the very image that we think about. And so even though we're saying don't do this or don't do that, the pure thought of it puts that mental picture into our minds. And then that's all the brain knows when it comes down to actually performing, and the muscles will follow its lead. And so what we want to do is obviously put in the correct mental picture. We want to see the ball flying the way we want it to fly. We want to see the ball rolling on the green the way we want it to roll. Can you kind of elaborate on maybe what you think about, maybe the process that you go through when you're putting as a high level tournament player?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I'm always doing is as I'm walking up to the green is kind of when I'm getting my initial read or feel of what the putt might do, you know, what the contours of the green or gravity might do to the golf ball between my ball and the target, which is the hole. Sometimes when you're walking up to the green, you can get some of the best perspective because you see the green from a little further away. You can start to see the macro slopes and the bigger things that might influence the golf ball. And then I take a 360 walk around the golf ball while other people are reading their putt, or if it's my turn to go first, I'll kind of do that process quite briskly. And then I'll just try to identify, where the straight uphill putt would be. So I'm trying to identify where the fall line is. The fall line being, if you're looking at a clock's perspective from the hole to 6 o'clock on a clock, where would be a dead straight uphill putt from that, wherever they put the hole location that day. And then, you know, if my ball is towards the, 5:30, 5 o'clock or 4:30, 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock side of 6 o'clock on the clock face, then I kind of already know the ball's going to be breaking a little right to left because gravity's going to pull it towards 6 o'clock. And then if that ball's over towards, 6:37, 7:38 or 8:39 o'clock on the clock face, then it's going to go, a little left to right because gravity's going to pull it down towards 6 o'clock. And then obviously if you go up above the hole, you can kind of extrapolate a little bit on what the ball's going to do from there as well. So I'm doing that pretty quickly. I've kind of stopped concerning myself over what the most perfect read is because you can get caught up in the read too much. Once I've got a general idea, then I'm just all thinking about the speed at which I want to roll the ball. We know that capture size basically means that, for every, 6 inches or 3 to 6 inches you roll the ball past the hole, the effective size of the hole gets smaller. So you can no longer use the edges of the hole for the ball to kind of topple in the side. You have to hit the dead center back of the cup for it to even have a chance to go in the hole. So speed is the most important thing for me on my mind after I have made my initial read. And then after I've got those pieces of information, I'm picking a line at which, okay, if I can roll my ball, let's say I'm going to aim, 4 inches outside the right edge of the cup. All I'm thinking about is rolling my ball to the end of a straight line, 4 inches to the right of the hole. And that's all I can do. I can't do anything else as a golfer. I can't make the ball go in the hole. I can't pick up the ball and walk it over and place it in the cup. All I can do is picture my ball rolling on a straight line to the end of that line, 4 inches right of the hole. And then, whatever happens at that point. And I try to, that comes back to Manuel De La Torre's kind of saying he's never ever tried to make the putt, which he's saying is he's just tried to roll his ball to the end of a line. And done his best to kind of say, if I can do that, then the ball's got a chance to go in the hole. So that's my process in a nutshell. And the most important part for me is just maintaining my mental picture of the ball rolling on that line and coming to rest at the end of a line that I've visualized and that I continue to visualize as I putt.
That's awesome. I think that's a great description of, there's a few things that stood out. You and I don't know if we've ever talked about this because that was news to me as to how you visualize the clock face on the hole. It seems to me like you look for the fall line, basically where straight uphill and straight downhill is, and you mark that as 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock on the face. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. So then you're identifying where on the clock is your ball and you're looking at how that's going to allow the slope to carry the ball towards the hole. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. So that just, I kind of walk around and I make a pretty quick little judgment as to what I think, 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock might be. And then from there, I've got a pretty good idea as to what the ball's going to do.
Yeah, I think that's an absolute great way of starting the whole green reading process. I don't think people recognize enough that the entry point into the hole is so valuable. It's mm-hmm. almost like reverse engineering. I mean, we want to know, we want to putt with the end in mind. We need to read the green with the end in mind. We need to read the green so that we know where that ball is going to be entering the hole. And it's very rarely on the front of the hole. There's very few straight putts. The way I do that, I do the same thing. I have a clock face, but I think of the clock face as from where my ball is on a straight line to the hole and through the hole being 6 and 12 o'clock. And then I identify where on the clock will the ball be entering the hole. And so on a very big sloping putt, it's going to be rolling in at 3 or 9 o'clock.
Right.
And so it's interesting because we see that differently, but it's ultimately the same concept in that we are seeing the way that ball is going to enter the hole and kind of backtracking from there, the arc that we want to play.
Right. Yeah. I always see the ball. I almost see the whole movie or picture play backwards. I see the ball coming out of the cup and then back to my ball.
Interesting. Jack Nicklaus did that.
Yep. I saw the ball where it was going to roll in. And I kind of see the speed at which it falls in the hole too, which kind of tells my brain the speed at which that ball should be rolling as it nears the cup. So it's kind of got a double, benefit there where I'm seeing the ball, you know, kind of just fall over the front edge of wherever I've decided that I think that ball is going to go in, you know, not crashing over the edge. And what all we're talking about here, just to kind of, you know, come back to this point, Henry and I are describing what is going to happen, right? We're describing the ball going over a very specific part of the cup. We're describing the speed at which the ball is going to be falling in the edge. None of what we said has to do with, you know, this putt means that I'm going to shoot my lowest score, or if I can make this putt, I'm going to do X, or if I miss this putt, I'm going to lose $5, right? That has zero to do with the act of the ball going in the hole. Obviously, some of those thoughts always creep into our heads. You know, neither of us would be crazy enough to say that we don't have those thoughts because we're human, and you can't avoid those thoughts. That's one of the biggest things that helped me is to learn that everybody has those thoughts and I'm not unique for having those types of thoughts. But once you've had those thoughts, the next part of that process is to identify that those thoughts aren't going to help you anymore as far as what the task at hand is. So it's beneficial to say, okay, yep, I've acknowledged that this putt is for the win, but does that help me make this putt? Absolutely not. So all I can now do is think about where I want the ball to end of the hole and the speed at which it's going to go in the hole. And that's what I'm choosing to focus on, right? Free will, you know, everybody has free will as a golfer. Bob Rotella says that free will might be the most important thing for golfers to understand. You can either choose to think about what the putt might mean, or you can choose to think about the speed and the spot on the hole the ball's going to roll into.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, what you're saying is kind of a process-oriented mindset, similar to what Della Torre said in regards to trying to roll the ball on the line and stop the ball at the end of the line, not having any concern of the outcome of the putt. To me, and I think, you know, when I think of this whole visual and the image that you're talking about, it reminds me of putting on the green in the morning when there's still dew on the grass, and you get to see after making a putt, the arc that it makes in the dew on the wet grass. And, you know, ultimately picturing that while actually making the putt.
Right. Yeah. Those are all valuable things to do for sure.
Yeah. The whole thing about picking the highest route possible, letting the ball die in the hole. I love that concept about speed control. Like you mentioned, I think, you know, everything outside of about, you know, an 8-footer is a 50-50 make rake. So anything outside of that, you got to believe that the speed becomes more and more important because we're not going to be making very many of those putts. And so we want to get them close to the hole. I'm actually reading a book right now called Expert Putting by Chris Riddich. It's basically a sequel to The Golf Swing. And it's interesting. The beginning of it talks about kind of some of the things that we're actually talking about today. But he says that based on the geometry and the way slope works of putting greens and putting, that downhill putts are actually easier than uphill putts when it comes to getting the ball in the correct line. He says that going downhill, the ball will hold its line better than when you're putting uphill. He says the reason why golfers struggle with downhill putts, though, is because of the fear of three putting, that they don't putt with the correct speed. And so on an uphill putt, if we run the ball a couple of feet by the hole, which is horrendous, we would still be okay because the way the slope is positioned, it's kind of protecting us from a ball getting away from us.
Right.
Whereas on a downhill putt, if we roll it a couple of feet past the hole, that thing might go sailing much further because of the downhill slope.
Yeah.
And so, so he said,
you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's interesting because, you know, the only difference there would be between uphill and downhill is just the golfer's inability to kind of picture what speed the ball is going to be rolling into the hole. You know, on a downhill putt, I'm picturing that ball like literally just barely falling over the front edge of the cup, like taking its last revolution, last turn of a dimple over the front edge of the cup. And so with that in mind, my subconscious brain knows that, okay, you know, with 3 feet to go, this ball is going to be losing a lot of its speed. And that again influences how big of a stroke I make, not because I'm thinking about how big of a stroke to make, but because my subconscious brain now has this really vivid picture of the speed at which the ball is going to be rolling in the hole. And then that also influences the line that I choose, because I know if it's going to be falling in the hole at such a slow speed, gravity is going to have more of an effect on that putt. So therefore I need to maybe play a little bit more break than I would if the putt was flat. Because as a, you know, as the ball loses speed, gravity has more influence on it. So all of these things just come back to that idea of the mental side of putting, which really for me, if I think about it, comes down to picturing where on the cup that ball is going to go in the hole and the speed at which that ball is going to be falling in the hole. And then that influences the picture of the line, that influences where I'm going to aim, and that influences my subconscious brain to kind of make that putting motion without me really trying to say, okay, I got to go 6 inches back and 6 inches through and all this sort of stuff that I hear a lot of golfers talk about who struggle with putting.
I think that's great. I think that wrapping that up with this whole idea of really seeing the ball trickle in the hole at the end on a slow pace on a downhiller, it makes so much sense that ultimately, at the end of the day, we need to control two things, direction and distance. And I think that's a perfect transitional point into the actual physical side of putting, the stroke itself. And when it comes to those two concepts, direction and distance, there's basically just a handful of things that we need to be able to understand and get good at doing in order to control them with some amount of relativity. So when it comes to direction, we know that we need to hit the putter on the center of the club face. We know we need to be able to control where the club face is pointing at impact. And then we need to know how to control the path of the putter. So contact, face, and path are going to be the main contributors to direction. And then on distance, distance comes down to also center contact. And then the speed at which the putter is moving. So we can really narrow that down and say, okay, those are the real skills, the real fundamentals and principles that we need to be working on. What are your suggestions as to how a player should develop the physical skills to be able to control both direction and distance?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You look at a lot of the great putters over time, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Ben Crenshaw, Bobby Locke, you know, some people who everyone kind of touts as some of the best putters, Tiger Woods, Luke Donald, you know, people who are just sort of known for their putting, Zach Johnson. They all kind of employ different styles of putters, different stances, different amounts of hinge from the hips, all different styles. So you'd be hard pressed to say that one style works better than another. Other than saying you just need to put in a ton of hours of practice, which at the end of the day is really what it's all about. But those people I just mentioned obviously all did those things you just described incredibly well at a high level, at an incredibly repetitive level. And it was mostly just them understanding and knowing that I think a lot of times golfers are just, and it's not their fault. It's kind of almost like you don't know what you don't know. Some people don't even know that you got to hit it in the center of the club face, right? Some people don't even know that the club face needs to be 90 degrees to the intended line you want to send the ball down. And sometimes just telling your brain those things is enough for you to then go and practice those items, because now you know how important they are, right? A lot of people don't even realize how important it is to hit the ball in the center of the putter face as far as distance controls goes. And they don't even know which side of center they strike the ball on more regularly. So, you know, getting feedback on those types of skills, using devices and training aids to get feedback on where you're hitting the putter face. You know, in my mind, you can employ a different styles of putter, you know, of stroke. There's really not that much leeway, but, you know, you can have a little bit more wrist pop or wrist action, something like a Brant Snedeker or a Jack Nicklaus, who kind of had a more of a wristy stroke. Or you can be more like a Luke Donald, who's got more of a pendulum motion, or a Zach Johnson, much more of a pendulum motion. But at the end of the day, like you said, you got to hit the ball in this, you know, the center of the putter face, and you got to be able to control where your putter face is pointing. And then for me, the speed comes down to the subconscious brain. I can't remember ever thinking of a putt as thinking about how far back and how far through I want to consciously swing my putter from the golf ball. I've always left that open to the subconscious. But you know, those other things I have trained with aids that give me feedback on where I'm hitting the putter face and give me feedback as to where the ball is starting relative to my intended line. So, but I'd be curious to hear, you know, kind of what you've done or what you've helped other players do to develop those skills of face contact and face angle awareness.
Yeah, I think you bring up some interesting topics, you know, different styles. Obviously, we all are different people and we do things differently and we look differently and we're going to have different backgrounds, and all that contributes to the way we're going to play golf and putt. And I think that we shouldn't get wrapped up in the style so much as it is those laws of ball flight. You mentioned Tiger Woods being such a fantastic putter. He's always, even on his full swing, he's talked so much about distance control, focusing on distance control. I mean, that is such a valuable piece that so many amateurs don't focus on. I mean, people go to the driving range, and I know this is a smidge of an off topic, but on the driving range, we focus on direction, direction, direction. How many times are people working on their distance control?
Right, hardly ever.
When we get on the putting green, you know, we hear about people talking about the, you know, speeds of the greens, and that's such a challenge going from course to course. And when I see people putt, they have three golf balls and they're just rolling that ball by the hole. You know, their direction's okay, but they're rolling it way by the hole or well short of the hole. The distance control is so important. And when you look at Tiger's putter, I mean, it's you know, shown in pictures all over the internet. The center of it is worn out.
Mm-hmm.
The center of the putter face is worn out. He has hit so many putts on the center that it's actually got a worn out spot on it.
Right.
You know, I think that a person could simply train that. We could work intentionally on hitting the ball on the center of the club face at home while we're watching TV. We could put a couple of rubber bands on either side of the putter face, kind of wrap it around the putter face. One just off the edge, maybe an inch from the sweet spot, the center of the putter face, off the toe, one on the same distance, but on the heel, to where we have a little window that we want to contact the putter face on in the center. And if we were to putt it and miss the center, hit the rubber bands, it'd be immediate feedback that we either hit it off the toe or the heel. And as we got better, we would be able to move those rubber bands closer and closer to center, making the task more and more challenging. It's such a simple thing, but that would be a drill that a golfer could do to improve their center contact, which probably is the most ultimate of all those laws, because it contributes both to direction and to distance.
Yeah. You know, if there's one thing that I see most golfers struggling with when it comes to every club in the bag, it's center face contact. And the main reason for that is because they've never dedicated a substantial amount of time or a focused amount of practice to hitting the center of any sort of club face. And if you can't hit the center of the putter face, you're not going to hit the center of the driver face. And so, you know, with the putter face being, you know, the smallest swing, the smallest motion we make as golfers, you know, let's start there. right? Let's learn how to just wear out the center of the putter face like Tiger did. And it's interesting. I think of all the skills in golf, you know, very few people are going to be able to fly the golf ball 300 yards like a PGA Tour pro or hit long irons like a PGA Tour pro. But I truly believe that every single person could putt like a Tour pro. I mean, if we think about the motion, it is such a simple motion, a pendulum motion, or whatever motion style you choose to employ. We're talking about at the absolute most, you might swing that putter back 2.5 feet and swing it 2.5 feet forward for like a 70-foot putt. At the absolute most, most of the lengths of putts you're trying to roll are between, 40 and 40 feet and in, that sort of thing. And I'm just, from personal experience, learning to hit the center of the putter face, learning to control where the putter face points at impact, it influences your chipping, it influences your pitching, it influences your iron game, and it influences your driver. I mean, it just helps to go across the board with all the skills, and it all really starts on the putting green. I think if we were being honest and we sat down and we were going to develop a golfer from scratch, we'd spend months on the putting green, months, and have that person truly understand how to control distance, because that helps you control distance with irons and chipping. Have that person be able to wear out the center of a face, have that person be able to control where the ball starts, have that person be able to read a green, that's where you'd start. Like you said, we just need to dedicate some time to it. A lot of people listening to this episode probably haven't even thought about the importance of hitting the center of the putter face. And now that it's circulating in their brain, they're going to go, oh yeah, let me figure out some ways, or let me look up some ways that other people maybe work on hitting the center of the putter face. Or let me talk to some better putters, some of my friends who are better putters, and let me find out, what they think about when it comes to putting. And, that could unlock a lot of things for them right there. It's just a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. Part of this, all of our episodes are just helping golfers to become aware of the laws of ball flight. These have nothing to do with the style of stroke you employ. You could putt backwards. You could putt through your legs. You could putt left-handed. You could putt, pinning the putter up against your armpit for all I care. If you hit the center of the face and the face is pointing where you want the ball to go, the ball's going to roll down your line.
Such a good point. I mean, at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of different styles. And you've mentioned the pendulum type motion quite some time. I want to kind of touch briefly on that. When it comes to looking up the definition of the term swinging, we're going to find that it's a defined term. It's a to and fro motion while suspended from a point of axis. Now, a pendulum is actually an example of a swing. So is a swing set. In putting, it's very simple to understand this motion. The center of the swing being basically a point on our spine between the shoulder blades. In terms of actually putting itself and making it more relevant to golfers, would be a point on the sternum as the point of axis. You remember seeing players using the long putter. The long putter was anchored up against the sternum, and it created a true pendulum-like swinging motion. And a handful of years ago, the governing body said that was against the rules for moving forward because it made swinging too easy. Tiger Woods was one who said that the real art of golf was managing the space between the end of the golf club, the grip end of the golf club, and its center. And so what we need to do is we could use that type of a pendulum motion, the long putter, as a model for understanding what the putter should do. And then using a traditional putter, we could set the club up in the center of our stance so that the shaft of the club was pointing towards our sternum, and making a slow motion so that it was moving in a way that appeared to be connected to the sternum for the entire stroke. That would be the simplest of motions. That would be a true pendulum, a true swinging motion. And for a lot of golfers, would be a good place to go towards in order to both control distance, but also to control direction.
Yeah, exactly. Something that has kind of crossed my mind recently would be, you know, almost like practicing putting with like a hybrid or a three wood, because those shafts being longer, you could actually anchor one of those clubs into your sternum or anchor one of those clubs into your stomach and really truly experience that pendulum motion. Because if that butt end of that club stays pinned up to the stomach or the sternum, you know, that is a fixed anchor point and that's a fixed axis. And the putter is going to perform a nice pendulum swinging style motion. And if you observe what the club head's doing when you keep that fixed axis point, you'll notice that that putter swings on a little bit of an arc relative to your target line, which is what it should do. You're going to notice that that putter face or the, the three wood or hybrid face, you know, it opens a little bit in the backswing, you know, and then it comes back to square as it passes the sternum, and then it closes a little bit in the forward swing. You know, and you're going to start to be able to develop that mental picture of what the putter face should do when you look down at it. And that feeling of the, you know, kind of now you can imagine when you're actually holding a regular putter, you're imagining that putter grip being a little longer and kind of staying fixed to that spot on your stomach or sternum. And then you'll start to develop a really repetitive motion that's going to help you to A, to hit the center of the face more often than to B, just to control where that putter face is pointing at the bottom of that arc. And I think that would be, that'd be a great drill or a great exercise for golfers to do who are kind of looking to perform a better pendulum putting motion.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of transferring it over. You know, that type of a practice drill is going to be very helpful for improving their center contact, for improving the club face. You mentioned the putter face opening and closing relative to the target. It's also important to know that the putter face is staying square to the arc. It's not as if a player is twisting the putter face open and close like a screwdriver. It's certainly not a screwdriver type motion. It's more of a back and through motion. And the putter face is staying square to the arc. Very well. I mean, that's going to be such a good visual for players and a good drill for them to do with the tools that they already have. Let's do this. So we've talked a little bit about mental game. We've talked about physical game. Let's touch on two quick topics. I want to hear a little bit, maybe just your favorite putting drill. I'll share my favorite putting drill and then we'll wrap things up.
Yeah. So, you know, favorite putting drill, one of the ones you described that I've used a ton is just, you know, I have a little putting mat at home and I've put two rubber bands on either side of the sweet spot of the putter. It's instant feedback. It really focuses and narrows your attention for what you're trying to do on that stroke, which is simply just, you know, have the back of that ball contact the sweet spot of the putter. And just doing that daily is something that's just going to make a huge, huge impact on the game. It's so simple. Everyone's got a couple of rubber bands lying around and you can make it as challenging or as easy as you'd like. You can narrow those rubber band margin for error or you can widen it. And it just narrows your focus. And I think for golfers who putt without any sort of their attention on anything, I think it really gives them a nice place to focus their attention.
Great idea. I think practicing at home is always very valuable, especially putting. I'm going to say that my favorite drill, we'll transition to an outdoor drill, is using a chalk line. So going to the hardware store, buying a chalk line, finding a straight uphill putt. So that's 6 to 12 o'clock that you were referring to, and then strapping down a chalk line on the ground. I don't know, anywhere from 6 to 8 feet in length, and basically just working up and down the chalk line, starting near the hole and working further away. If I'm hitting it on the center of the club face, and controlling the face and the path, that ball is going to roll end over end right on that chalk line. It's also going to be helpful for my mental game because it's going to help me imprint a line on the ground in which I'm putting on. So that's always been one that I go to, and it's something that I use at the course in practice and certainly at tournament sites when I'm playing competitively.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had forgotten about the chalk line, but that was something that when I was practicing a ton, that was something I would do daily, is just find a straight putt, lay a chalk line down. And it just, you can't over appreciate how that line on the ground from the ball to the hole really starts to train your eyes to kind of see where you're lined up, where your feet are, where your shoulders are, you know, where the putter blades lined up, all that sort of stuff. And that just transfers right over to the golf course nicely.
Yeah, and I think that the last bit of information going back to the middle game would be to spend enough time practicing with one golf ball and going through full routine. I mean, that audio tape that you and I talk about, Putting Like a Genius by Dr. Bob Rotella, is probably one of the best resources that I've come across when it comes to playing better golf. And it's something that can be implemented on the green and then expanded upon to chipping and pitching and then the full swing. And I think that's a game changer for most players.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just wrap up with, you know, you got to do the work, right? We're good putters because we've hit a lot of putts. We're good putters because we've listened to the audiobooks. We're good putters because we've read books on putting. You know, we're good putters because we've just thought about it. We've visualized it. We've just put in a lot of time. There's no cheat code. There's no instant fix. There's nothing like that that exists in golf. You just have to put in the time. And if you want to be a good putter, you want to play, you know, better golf, you just got to put in the time. You know, all we're trying to do as coaches is provide resources to the players. We can't go out there and hit the putts for you. We can't go read the greens for you. You know, you got to be able to put in the time to learn these skills yourself. And it takes a lot of work and it's hard stuff, but at the end of the day, that's the most rewarding, is when you finally feel like you know what you're doing on a putting green and you feel confident, you know, standing over a putt.
Keith, that's been a great conversation, dude. I think that we summarized some really good things for people to listen to and to implement into their games, both mentally and physically. I hope you have a great day, and it's always been a pleasure talking golf with you.
You too, my man, and can't wait to do it again.
Take care, brother.
Bye.